Welcome to the Georgia Show on our first show of 25. Bill, welcome to the show. Thanks for. Did you have a good New Year?
I did. We were recovering from a little bit of the whatever this was. I don't think it was bird flu, but whatever was moping around over the holidays. But back coming up to speed and getting ready for the coming couple of weeks, which I think are going to be jazzy.
Yeah, and we're going to be all over it here at the Georgia Show and at CDM. We've got a fantastic show for you today. We're going to talk about Georgia issues and some international issues like we always do. We kind of bring to you what you need to know and call through all the fire hose of news flow out there. I mean, the cycle is pretty intense right now, as anyone in this business understands. We're brought to you by the Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com. Look for new things at the Georgia Record into 25. But sign up for our new ad subscriptions. Sign up for our newsletters. Sign up for our Rumble channel. Sign up for our social media. Our X account is growing nicely. We're streaming on X across multiple channels. So please just spread the word and support CDM. If you put us in your daily scan in the morning, I guarantee you, if you check CDM.press, you will know more than most about what's happening in the world and the stuff you need to know. Not that there's some new toe fungus you need to worry about, but this is real stuff, real reporters on the ground that are breaking news. And our no-ad subscription, you can get all of it with no ads, $10 a month or $100 a year, and you don't have any ads on your phone. And we've had a lot of success with that, and we want to keep that going. Thank you, Bill. So what do we have today, Bill? It's going to be full, but how's it going to lay out?
Well, as you said, we're going to cover some stuff that has to do with Georgia. You could make the argument that almost everything we talk about has something to do or has an effect over Georgia. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about some things that will be coming between now and January 20th, the inauguration or the planned inauguration. And it's important to understand the sequence of things that both we know about and maybe some things we haven't thought about or can't anticipate yet. And so folks can be up to speed on that. We're going to talk about some of the forthcoming news from the Georgia Freedom Caucus. We will have Mallory Staples with us, the director of the Georgia Freedom Caucus, to give us a briefing on that and some of the things that they hope to accomplish and perhaps hope to avoid in the coming weeks and months of the Georgia legislative session. We'll talk about the odd, Cybertruck bombing, maybe a bit about the drones, mostly about probably the confusion. Why is it not clear what these things are about? Why are there so many questions swirling around these events? And we'll cover that. Yesterday, there were in the last couple of days, there have been a number of medals awarded by President Biden as he prepares to exit, apparently, some of which are astounding, and we want to talk about those. We also will go back and we'll have a couple other things to include, perhaps, but we also want to spend just a little more time on this bird flu issue. I think we're making headway. The read that I'm getting is that folks are listening and are realizing that there's more to know here, and it's important to know those things so they can, one, either mitigate any risk or acknowledge that the risk is not what it appears the media would like us, the mainstream media would like us to believe. And so I think that's one of our key jobs right now, is to make sure that folks have, good solid data and can make good decisions.
Yeah, I think that's really key, because it almost seems like they're just trying to cause chaos right now. I mean, throwing a lot of stuff out there with all the stuff you talk about, with the bombings, with the bird flu, with, the wars. It's just like anything they can do to cause chaos and to make people uncomfortable. Am I reading that right?
Well, if you look back at the last few months, I mean, look at all the things that we've seen thrown already. Oh gosh, there's going to be bird flu was supposed to be coming out 6 months ago. And then there's monkeypox. And then when monkeypox didn't, it started getting too many memes with monkeys, they started calling it mpox. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have any friends or know of anyone that got mpox. So what was all that about?
Yeah.
And it does begin to beg the question, are many of these things meant to create confusion, fear, and so forth? And is that consistent with what's coming out through Tucker and other both past officials and researchers? Is that consistent with what some of the government programs that have been implemented in the past were always meant to do? Create fear, confusion, misinformation. We've talked many times about Mockingbird Media. Is this just another level? Is this some sort of some weird psyop to cause lack of confidence in Trump? We don't know.
My feel is it's like they're the last to know, right? I mean, they've been so used to being able to create this confusion and chaos, and it's really just not working anymore. One, because they don't control the media anymore, as you said, and so people see through it. But it's like they don't realize it, like the drone issue. We'll find out what that was eventually, but it's almost like it was, Blinken, they didn't even, or the White House didn't even care about it. As Tucker was saying, I watched his interview last night with the gentleman from the CIA. It's almost like that they just are late to the party, realizing that something has changed in the public's mind.
Yeah, it does seem like that. The very fact that they've got a past CIA operative who admits to being so, talks of it being trained in languages and other things and having spy craft. And I'm thinking, well, geez, this is like, a Jason Bourne how-to manual as we begin this discussion. And it just seemed odd. I'm not sure I would expect that kind of an individual to go on Tucker and admit what he did or didn't do.
Yeah, that's true. So and it's gotten to me where I try to question, okay, what's the agenda here? Who benefits from this? Why are they doing this all the time now? And that goes down a lot of rabbit holes, but at least you're aware of, a lot of people don't see that, don't have that level of perception anymore, or yet, I should say.
Yeah. Well, I see Mallory Staples coming into the green room. Let's go ahead. Welcome her in. I'm going to change the order here just a little bit. Sure. We'll come back to the inauguration stuff. Good afternoon, Mallory Staples, the director of the Georgia Freedom Caucus. Thank you for making time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Happy New Year. It's been a hot minute. So
Happy New Year to you. I hope it will be a wonderful 2025 for you and the entire team at the Georgia Freedom Caucus.
Thank you. You guys too. Thank you, Bill. Yeah.
So in the last few days, we've talked briefly about some of the plans and forthcoming news. And so I wanted to see if you were prepared to begin sharing a little bit about what the outlook may hold and some of the things that you hope to perhaps accomplish. Maybe I've had several conversations in the past months with folks saying that they were planning on joining if they were elected. So I'd like to hear that too. So I'll turn it over to you. What's the latest?
Well, we're obviously thrilled with President-elect Trump's victory and what a sweeping victory it was. So we were inspired by that. We feel like that conservative mandate that was delivered by President Trump is something really powerful. And so here in Georgia, as you all know, it is quite difficult to get the Republicans to behave, and by behave, I mean vote, like Republicans, like conservatives. And so we kind of put all the problem together with what we feel like was a solution. And we created what we're calling the Path to Prosperity. And the Freedom Caucus is going to present this to all the legislators and give them the opportunity to sign on. We've put a couple of, they're not actual bills, but they're concepts for bills or structures for bills. Y'all know how detailed the actual legislation can be. Sure. But bills that we feel like every single Republican voter would want their elected official to sign on for. Just bills that you really can't be a Republican and not vote for these. Again, it's that conservative mandate. The people have spoken. They want to see these things happen, and we want to help get there. And, we'd like to unify. We'd like to bring everybody together behind some things that, again, everyone should be able to get behind and really use the momentum that Trump's victory created to bring, as they like to say with the Trump campaign, everybody under the same tent and do some good for Georgia citizens and get some things accomplished while we're all like-minded or seem to be at this point. So we've spent some time putting that Path to Prosperity together. I think it will, if we're successful, it will bring Georgia up to speed with some of our conservative counterparts in the states around us and throughout the country, where we historically lag behind because it has been very difficult to do some of the more basic conservative legislation here in Georgia. We spend a lot of our time, as you guys know, because you partner with us in fighting We spent a lot of time fighting bad bills, California type bills here in Georgia. And so we wanted to put some energy and again, use the momentum behind really good bills that everybody can come together on. So that's our hope this session.
Well, that's great. You're always so diplomatic in your approach. And I know that you do everything you can to be able to work with these guys, even when some don't seem to be, as you say, unifying under under the Trump vision, if you will. But we grant you a lot of credit for trying to be the glue that pulls things together. We too have been getting ready for the legislative session. Now, in full disclosure, I've got a couple things that I've already put out and will re-release to make people recall some of the stuff that happened last year. But I think that's important. You know, as we go forward, one of the questions I've got for you is, do you sense that these guys, these legislators that may have been making decisions and proposing things a particular way last year or the year before, are they watching what's going on with such things as DOGE and with the Chevron finding that is going to make, we think, massive change in the either the number or the role of agencies at the federal level? I think a lot of people expect that to be carried out at the state level as well. Do you sense that they've got their eyes on this kind of stuff?
I haven't interacted with them enough to gauge whether they sense it or not. I think legislators would have to be absolutely out of it to not see what happened in the country, to not pick up on the emphatic support that the majority of the people in the country have towards make America great again, make America healthy again, put America first. I mean, all of the Trump campaign essentials. Mm-hmm. Yes, DOGE, it's accountability, it's common sense, and the people are really demanding it. So the path of least resistance would be if they were paying attention and they were willing to break with the lobbyists and work for the people. So we will see, because that really is the barrier, it are the lobbyists, whether it is, you know, pharma, military industrial complex, whatever the lobby is. It's been Tucker Carlson just did a super interesting interview on the Israeli lobby, which was like, man, I hadn't heard anybody do that. And so that was interesting as well. But anyone involved in politics understands that sadly the fuel in the engine are the lobbyists and the people who pay the money. And the gentleman in that interview said, it's surprisingly inexpensive to run the U.S. government. I mean, you know, you get a couple of committees here and a couple of committees there and you're done when it comes to foreign policy and things like that. So I am optimistic. I am going to give them all the benefit of the doubt that they heard the voice of the people. They heard it very clearly and that they're going to respond. We're prepared if they don't. You know, we've heard they're going to try and bring back 2A infringing bills and First Amendment, all that, same trick, same game. We'll be ready for that and stronger than we were even last year. But I do have a sense of optimism because of what happened. So, I mean, it's tempered by watching a lot of these guys who had no love for Trump whatsoever, spoke of him very derogatory, get on the Trump train. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't self-serving, but it was altruistic, and they're prepared to do right by the citizens of the state of Georgia. And if they don't, we'll be there. But gosh, I sure hope they do. It'd be outstanding and much simpler.
I do too.
Mallory, do you see the caucus growing? I mean, have you had any thoughts or input from people saying, hey, behind the table, I think I may join? Is that happening at all?
We picked up a member in the House, which is great. Our beloved Charlize Byrd is no longer a lone actor over in the House. So Noelle Kahane has joined her, and she's an absolute firebrand. She's been fighting for freedom in the education sector for quite some time, and this was her second run. She defeated Lauren Daniels, who is a leadership darling. So it was a Herculean task, and she did it real sharp. So we're happy to have Charlize get some good company on the House side. And I have not heard or haven't had anybody reach out to me who's won other seats and be interested, but they might see, you know, that this, that the Freedom Caucus is clearly what the people want. You know, Glenn Beck was doing an interview the other day, and we've actually got it in a killer video. I need to send you all a promotional video where he just said, honestly, the hope for the country, whether it's the B leagues, you know, the minor leagues at the state level or in Congress at the federal level, is the Freedom Caucus. Mm-hmm. So I hope we continue to grow here in Georgia. We have, you know, our neighbors in South Carolina have 18 Freedom Caucus members. I think they picked up a few more. So, and again, in Georgia, there is a bit, it's a bit of a mirage that we are as conservative as they say we are. But we can get there and in pretty short order again, if these elected officials will get in line with the will of the people, it will happen very, very quickly. Very quickly, yep. But it's saying no to the lobbyists and leadership. So we'll see what they do. Yep.
So that's a great lead into my next thing I wanted to show here. Now, this, I'm going to take responsibility for the next couple of slides from the Georgia Record. This is, I know you're, as I said, you're a very good diplomat, and you're trying to form a glue between folks. But at the same time, I think holding folks accountable for what they have done and haven't done is key as we go forward. So we've been begun publishing articles such as this to remind people, you know, when you recall 986, HB 986, and its promise to essentially censor a number of things that might reach the public as misinformation, remember who brought that forward. Now, we hope that things will change and we will give people credit as they do. We also wanted to call out the fact that Mr. Carter down in the, I guess it's First District, was very interested in having the UN through UNESCO begin to have management capability over our Okefenokee swamp. Why would you do that with, you know, the UN? Is the UN better capable of managing Georgia than we are? I don't think so. And so as we go forward, what we would recommend is watchwords and phrases to be looking for in these bills as they surface. You know, anything global begins to worry me. Climate oriented stuff, because of what we're now learning coming forward, that most of the concerns about climate seem to be somewhat different, perhaps dramatically different than they're prescribed. Mm-hmm. Anything to do with the UN, anything to do with WHO, the World Health Organization. Words like joint public private. Why is that important? Well, when you put something private, it's not open to FOIA in most cases any longer, is it? And things begin to get hidden. Increased focus to me, from what I've read from the bills, is that means more money's going somewhere. Why would that need to be, especially when we're looking at DOGE for many things? And misinformation, which is another call sign for censorship. So as we go forward, one of the other things that I would highly recommend is folks follow, as you say, what the Freedom Caucus is doing. So here is the Twitter page, and they can sign up and follow closely there. You also have a very good Substack that you publish announcements on frequently, sometimes daily, as we get into the heat of things. And so you can talk about what may be coming out here in the coming short term, if you wish, Mallory.
Yeah, so I'll be sending out my first newsletter of the season tomorrow. We will outline the path to prosperity in that as well. And yes, you know, Bill, optimism is important. Unity is vital to get things done, but I would implore everyone to have a very long memory as well, because history does repeat itself. So you need to be very up to speed on what has happened in an effort to avoid it happening again. And when we have Republicans that historically carry garbage, freedom crushing legislation, they need to be watched very, very closely, because, you know, the lobbyists know that they're very friendly to doing that sort of thing. So they're going to be on the recycle list. So that's smart. I just think it's wisdom. I don't see a downside in reminding people what has happened, and then coupling that with an optimism that the people spoke very dramatically, loudly, emphatically, and definitively in this election. And they're looking for it absolutely to happen at the state level as well. They expect that, and they absolutely.
Oops.
So, sorry about that.
That's okay.
So yes, that's a great idea. I'm all for the reminders.
One person's truth is another person's mean tweet sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's okay.
All right. Somebody's trying to reach you, it looks like. So we appreciate you being with us. Any last words?
That's all good. Thank you, Mallory.
The lobbyists are trying to cut her off. Mallory, thank you so much for being with us.
They're like calling in.
We'll look for your announcement tomorrow morning, and we will make sure we get that out on the Georgia Record. Thank you for being here, if you can still hear me. All right.
You know, we'll count on Mallory to get us the news early on any nefarious actions as far as in the bills, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, and we'll be unabashedly calling out what we find as we have in the past. What I'm hearing as I travel around the state and talk to different groups is they would wish, some of the legislators would wish, that we do not have the voice that we do. But now that we've been at this for a couple of years, people have come to trust what we put out. They find it valid. We normally publish the documents that we're citing along with our articles, and they're able to confirm what we're saying. It's not just opinion. It's not just, you know, oh gosh, we're just trying to downtrod somebody. That is not it. There is a concern here. And one of the notable things I didn't mention as we were talking about the Buddy Carter thing was UNESCO manages 1,000 or more sites around the world. So again, they have an impact on sovereignty of the management of those sites. One of which is very notable. It's Babylon. Babylon. So just as soon as I saw Babylon on the list, I said, you know, same people going to manage Okefenokee Swamp that manage Babylon. I don't feel good about that for some reason. I can't really put my finger on why.
Wonder why.
Yeah.
Let me ask our audience, have you had your Nucleo today? We are, as we mentioned last week, moving into nutrition at the micro level, and not just medical preparedness, but also getting healthy again, along with the JFK or RFK Jr. MAHA movement and President Trump. And with that being said, we have launched a new product, Nucleo Boost. It is a daily supplement that will make you very healthy inside. It gives you everything your body needs, all the building blocks. I've been using it for several weeks now. I feel great. My energy level's better. So I'm going to run this ad from John B. Wells.
Watching my friends gain more and more weight, and then eventually I got to tell you, this is a little dark, but a bad diet literally killed my whole crew.
Wow.
Diabetes, a stroke, I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's like, you had a stroke? You're not even 50 years old. You guys got to quit eating this stuff. Your body knows what's what. You're not conscious of this. But that's why people will go to the refrigerator and they'll grab this and that and the other and put together this outrageously elaborate combination of foods. Your body's trying to reach balance. Unbeknownst to us, our bodies are always trying to reach homeostasis. You can't eat all of this stuff and expect to live a long time. And one thing led to another, and I went, you know, forget this, we're going to make our own product. So we partnered with one of the world's top three biochemists where nutrition specific study is concerned. I said, all I want is the best nutritional and immune support product in the world. So we mixed it in yogurt. It's a powder. I got a bag of it here. I keep one on the console all the time, you know, just so I can show people.
Yeah.
And it's a powder. Now, this is not candy. This is hardcore nutrition. And sugar is an enemy. And most people do not know that the reason these bellies are showing up on people all over the place, your body makes fat to store the toxins it can't get rid of. Mm-hmm. So it just puts them over here. But I can tell you this. You take this for 30 days and then lay off of it for 2 or 3 days, and you'll go, good grief, give me some more. Skin, nails, hair growing back. Cut yourself and it heals in half the time.
So you can go to cdmnutrition.com and check out Nucleo Boost and find out everything about it. But as I said, I've been using it, my family's been using it, and we're addicted. So back to you, Bill. What's next?
Okay, so let's talk briefly about we're past the election, but what at this stage could be in the way of January 20th? Most people would think in the normal scope of the last, 30 years, well, gosh, you get through the election and come January 20th, somebody will be inaugurated. Well, we're seeing for the last, going on 8 years, some of the most outlandish steps that have ever been taken with regard to the president of the United States and the structure that's that's running the United States. So one of the first steps that needs to happen is we have to have a speaker of the House. And there was some concern going into Friday, because Friday the 3rd was going to be the first vote of the House to try to elect a speaker. In fact, the vote, as it was first taken, failed to come up with a speaker. But then after some apparent backroom negotiation, two of the House members changed their votes, Representative Norman and Representative Self. And in fact, Mike Johnson was reelected as the Speaker of the House. So first hurdle out of the way. Next hurdle comes tomorrow, January 6th, where Congress counts the electoral votes. And they need to either confirm those or not. Now, you'll recall that in 2020, concerns came from quite a number of states asking Congress to reconfirm the results, and that was not taken up. That was voted down following the contentious supposed January 6th insurrection, as some would call it. But what we've come to find out now is it was more likely stirred up folks based on FBI and other personnel in the crowd and some actions by the Capitol Police that were not well-founded. So what happens tomorrow? Well, that's the next hurdle, and we will see what transpires. I think it's most important for folks to be prepared to give counsel to their representatives from their states to confirm things and move forward, because that is, in fact, the will of the people, as Mallory correctly stated a few minutes ago. There's rarely ever in U.S. history been more people in agreement that they want things to proceed based on what the possibilities are going forward. Next hurdle that has surfaced is Judge Mershon up in New York is now scheduled a sentencing hearing for January 10th. What could happen there? Well, we will see. Is there something that could be done that could create a block to actually proceeding with the inauguration? We don't know. First time we've ever faced this kind of thing. And folks are suggesting, well, could that put other objections back in the hands of certain legislators that don't want this to proceed? Again, we don't know yet. We don't know all the moving parts, but we can see some. And then come January 20th at 12 noon, Inauguration Day, and that should be the time, all things proceeding, that Trump gets sworn in and is back in office. One of the interesting comments that I heard in the last few days is Trump was asked, based on the speed with which Vivek and Elon and Tucker and others are hinting that things will proceed. Trump was asked, how fast do you expect to be up to speed and actually in operation? And they expected an answer like a week or two or the first month or something like that. The answer was 2 hours. 2 hours. So just imagine that. He gets sworn in at noon, and by 2 o'clock, things are beginning to happen. What might those things be? I think it's going to be fascinating to watch.
And it sure is.
The promise of Doge, the outcome of the Chevron finding that we mentioned a few minutes ago, which takes away many of the powers and capabilities of these federal agencies, may in fact undo much of the regulation that's sitting there. We don't know all the things that are going to happen, but it will be amazing. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that this is going to be a hell of a 10 days coming up. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see what all they're going to pull and what happens on the 20th.
It will indeed. It will indeed. So those are some of the things we wanted to make sure we talk about. Did we want to take one more break, or shall we proceed to...
Yeah, let's pay some bills real quick. So we have been working with the wellness company for some time now. You're all aware of our twc.health/CDM, promo code CDM for 10% off. For our audio audience, their emergency medical kits are still front and center, along with the supplements and spike support, which we can highly recommend, but also how they're re-engineering medical care. I'm going to run a quick ad from the wellness company.
Up with a sore throat and a low-grade fever, you know you are getting sick. So here's your choices. You can get sicker and miss work, try to see a doctor this week, or sit hours in a crowded waiting room at urgent care.
I have a smarter option for you. Open your medical emergency kit, match your symptoms to doctor-recommended prescription in your booklet, and take the right meds now and get well faster.
This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It includes doctor-prescribed medications to treat over 39 medical issues like respiratory infections, strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, and more.
No waiting to see the doctor and no standing in line at the pharmacy. It's right here.
Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and here's how to order.
Order online fast and save $45. Your kit with prescriptions to treat common and life-saving illnesses is rushed to your door. Visit twc.health/CDM, promo code CDM. That's twc.health/CDM, promo code CDM.
Thank you, Bill. Back to you.
That's great. So one of the things that we'll hear later on in the show is an update on bird flu from Dr. McCullough. And that's a great example of, no matter what happens, having the contagion kit from the wellness company available is a smart step, because it takes away the potential of not being ready with whatever you might need. And two, just in case government or someone else says, oh, by the way, we don't believe ivermectin needs to be provided to the public any longer, it prevents that from being taken away from it. So you
definitely
add that all up, and lots of good reasons to have that in hand. Bear with me for a second. So there's been these strange attacks, I'll call them, or violent episodes that don't seem to fit together very well. And I know you've done a bunch of work on this this past week, looking at the so-called Cybertruck explosion or bombing at the Trump location in Vegas, and also the pickup car ramming people in New Orleans just prior to the Georgia playoff game. Very, very odd circumstances. And what strikes me as we look at these things is that some of it doesn't fit together. As I'll take one example, and then would appreciate your comments here. Mm-hmm. So the Cybertruck bombing, there's a gentleman that they claim is the driver and the perpetrator, if you will, of this. The truck is clearly an explosion. And bear with me for a second. Let me make sure I have the right video up, because I want to. There we go. There is a comparative video that was brought out in the last few days. People have said, oh, well, wait a minute, this is really just fire from an EV. They show a picture of a fire from an EV, and they show that this is much different. Yeah. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But following this detonation, apparently the driver, or who the claim of the driver was carrying two different pieces of ID, regular military ID and the passport, both of which ended up clearly visible. Pictures fine, you can identify who it was. Yet they said that the body was burned beyond recognition. So again, we see this odd, well, how could that be? If everything was burned up, if the body was burned beyond recognition, why wasn't the ID? And what struck us after looking at this was other cases in the past where we had odd bombings had similar patterns. This one, the Nashville bombing outside an AT&T facility on Christmas Day 2020, right in the street, apparently was a passport or ID from the person they claim is the bomber. How is that possible? There's even cases going back to the World Trade Centers where the IDs of some of the perpetrators, the terrorists, if you will, were found on the street amidst millions and millions of tiny pieces of paper. We don't know how to explain this, but you know, you look at the oddities and you begin to get a sense of something's not quite right. What are your thoughts as we just get
well,
into
the topic? My initial thought, I think Sean Ryan is legit. I think Shamait is legit. And I'm talking about the interview that was done with him regarding the emails that came to Shamait regarding from the truck, you know, driver or whatever you want to call it, that blew up the truck. He says it was a former, actually active duty special forces, they think now. I think Laura Logan came out with some interesting information, as well as other people talking about just the lingo in the email didn't match up with reality, like the way a ranger would describe a phase of training, the words were slightly different, just a lot of different things that didn't make sense in these emails. My sense is that he didn't write those emails, that they were provided to him via some other entity, person, agency, whatever. So my sense is that we don't know what happened here. This is being projected as something that probably isn't what it was. And we don't really know why. But I do think that my sense is this was probably not an international terrorist incident, although I know that there are a lot of them in the country probably waiting to do something. My sense is this was not that. This is some kind of internal inside job thing that was done to provide a narrative. And I'm very sensitive, as we've talked about, the narrative, you know, pushing now. And to me, that's what this is.
Well, here's a video that, as you said, Laura Logan has been looking into this. She does so many good things and is unabashedly courageous in bringing out the truth. Here's a video that she noted that shows apparently some steps along the way on the way to Vegas. One of which is he's powering the car. It seems to be cleaning off the bumper. Odd behavior if you're going to blow the thing up in another few hours, to me. There you can see him wiping off the back bumper of the vehicle as he's finishing getting it charged somewhere. The other thing that's come out now is apparently this gentleman has a track record of being on television as an actor in one of these reality shows.
Reality show that pits teams of elite soldiers from around the world against each other.
Matt and Tim from the U.S. Army Special Forces, better known as the Green Berets.
Matthew Livelsberger and his partner Tim Kelly, both Green Berets, appeared on the Ultimate Soldier Challenge 12 years ago on the History Channel. They not only won, it wasn't even close.
So, I won't play the entire clip because it's a little longer than we have time for, but more importantly, he didn't use his full name. He called himself Matt Berg. So does, you know, can you do the complete math with these pieces? No, but to your point, it does seem like there's something more here than a simple conclusion that, oh, he went crazy and needed to blow his rental truck up. That just doesn't feel right.
The fact of a lot of these actors have been on TV and some type of TV production before, you know, like the shooters with Trump who were in BlackRock advertisements. That is, I mean, think of what are the odds of that, right? So, I mean, it's just bizarre, but people need to understand that there are a lot of things that are just really make you wonder what is this?
Some people aren't comfortable with the number of cameras that we pass by every day. And there's no easy solution to that, but sometimes they play in our favor by giving us access to information that otherwise we might never know. And so, here we have a camera at a Tesla station giving us information that is, at least it helps form questions that probably need to be formed.
Yeah. Are you ready to move on or do you want to?
Whatever you would like to do, I'm happy to talk about that. We can talk a little bit about the drones, if you will. I just have a quick thing on a comment that was made on the drones whenever you're ready.
Let me just say that before we move on, that we've talked a lot about medical resilience, nutrition. We're still very big on financial resilience. Go to cdmmetals.com. You can talk to Advisor Metals there and talk to them about buying coins so you can trade. If anything happens, you have actual currency, physical gold or precious metals in your house. If you have an IRA that needs to be protected, we're entering into very uncharted waters. Nobody knows what's going to happen with our financial system. So make sure you protect your portfolio. It's smart to have a portion of that in precious metals. And we have our advisor, David Cross, who can help you with that. Let's run a quick ad from David, if you don't mind.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Back to you, Bill.
So we talked earlier about the ex-CIA agent who interviewed with Tucker Carlson and took him through a number of different things. One of the comments he made really struck me, and that is he said, you know, perhaps the drone thing is different than we anticipate it, but and it could be some sort of risk. It might not be a risk. But it does point out a gap in thinking that we might not have addressed. One of his comments relates to the fact that thousands of drones, even small ones, can be controlled together. And they don't have to be, you don't have to have these large drones that we've all seen working overseas where they take out a convoy with, you know, a drone that might be plane sized. Some of these things can be very small, carry a single package. Could it be an explosive? I guess it could be. He calls it out. He said you could, with 1,000 drones, each with 1 pound of explosive, you could do more damage than you might imagine. And two, there's virtually nothing that can be done to stop them because they're all acting independently. And I just wanted to put up this as just an example of not a risk, but an example of that these do work in concert when programmed that way. That's about 1,500 drones flying in a programmed pattern overseas. And we've seen a number of these various events already here in the U.S.
Fascinating.
Are they always, you know, good actors so far? Could they be something else? Maybe. And the very fact that they could be is perhaps food for thought.
Well, you know, you've seen the videos. Maybe you haven't, but people haven't. But when you combine that with facial recognition technology, you have a very powerful system where you could fly in 100 drones into an inauguration ceremony and only look for certain people to hit. You know, so there's a lot of fascinating technology that's coming down the pike. And we're, I believe the gentleman on Tucker said we're behind. I believe that. The Ukrainian battlefield is forcing exponential growth in tactics for drone warfare, and it's the future. And we need to, on the military side, we really got to get up on that.
Yep. So one of the, before we get into the bird flu update from Dr. McCullough, one of the things I wanted to highlight was in the past couple of days, Biden elected to give the Presidential Medal of Freedom to 19 recipients, some of whom are many of us would call unbelievable, for lack of a better term that we can say on the air. So here was the announcement. Hillary Clinton received one. George Soros, who many people who are within our listener group understand that he funded many of the district attorneys and probably many others that we have yet to even find out about. District attorneys like Alvin Bragg up in New York that brought charges against Trump, like Fannie Willis, many others. And they were given the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Now, notably, George himself didn't show up. He sent his son, Alex, to accept the award. Is there a reason for that? Well, we don't know. But again, found it fascinating. Here's Alex Soros' son taking the award from Biden. There's Hillary sitting in the background. And oh my gosh, would that be Mitt Romney over on the left also receiving an award? By gosh, it does look so, doesn't it? And then of course, cutting edge Americans like I believe Ralph Lauren and Michael J. Fox and Denzel Washington. I mean, I don't belittle, you know, Michael J. Fox and Denzel necessarily, but, you know, it just seems funny how they put together this list. And then, of course, Bono, widely recognized as a pretty good friend of Obama, has appeared in a number of different vignettes with Barack Obama in the past. So Bono gets an award.
Well, this is straight up Hunger Games, Bill. If you remember the scenes where they're all in clowns, you know, laughing as all the people are being persecuted out in the audience. I mean, this is what this is. It's a clown show.
It does seem remarkable. And, you know, people had a lot of questions about this, as well they should. So we hope we won't see more. But here's a great one. One of the gentlemen that got an award is this gentleman in the hunting vest there. And who is he standing next to? Who's one of his buddies? Well, Ralph Ruth, the gentleman that was charged and is investigating, is in under investigation for apparently attempting an attempt on Trump's life at the golf course. How is it that these people are tied in? And to your point, you know, these people are showing up, other people are showing up in BlackRock ads and other things. Happenstance, coincidence? Can't be. The odds are too low.
It's too great. I mean, it's a theater. We're being shown what they want us to see, essentially.
Or things that maybe we need to see to understand the connection, some would say. We don't know. Okay, so the next thing I'd like to go through, if we could, is spend a few minutes and hear from Dr. McCullough and his thoughts on the bird flu. The reason we keep going back to this is falls right in line with what we just got through talking about. Are we hearing the right things, or are we hearing what we're supposed to be hearing from the mainstream media? Dr. McCullough points out that many of the global entities that issued statements and conclusions regarding COVID and the vaccines that now appear to have been dramatically incorrect are now pushing, and have been for several months, been pushing the notion that we could be on the verge of a bird flu outbreak. And I think it's incredibly important and part of our responsibility to make sure folks have access to good, competent, accurate information. And this is one of the ways we can do that.
Before you go to that, I just want to throw up, go to cdmstore.net, check out the merch, Make America Healthy Again t-shirt is flying off the shelves. So get one and spread the word and start good conversations with your family. That's cdmstore.net.
That's great. So let's hear a little bit from Dr. McCullough and in this discussion with you and I, and then we'll break before the end of the show, and we'll go to you for closing comments. How about that?
Deal.
You know, we've been talking about this for some number of months now, and it kind of stems from the fact that many of the global organizations have almost been foreshadowing this. But what's your impression? Is this doesn't seem to be much of a surprise, does it?
It's not, you know, in a review article by Lysette and colleagues, bird flu has been around at least 100 years. And it comes in waves through, you know, flocks of chickens all over the world. And then they get natural immunity. The Chinese and Southeast Asian countries started vaccinating poultry about 20 years ago, and it backfired. So actually now is spread, made it a bigger problem. I think that's been a setback. Our current outbreak of bird flu, or H5N1 highly pathogenic avian influenza, that current outbreak is now 4 years old. It's going to start its fifth year. And it looks like the origins of this are the USDA Poultry Research Laboratory in Athens, Georgia.
Well, that hits home for us because we sit here right in Georgia, about 50 miles from where you're describing. In the past few days, you've indicated a pretty high degree of confidence that this version, clade, I think you refer to it, is associated with that. How do you come to that conclusion?
Well, the USDA was doing its research in abstracts and publications. We simply tracked them down. They were doing serial passage in mallard ducks. It's particularly dangerous research. Not because it's harmful to the ducks. The ducks can carry the bird flu virus without getting sick really at all. But what happens is the mallard ducks are wild. They tend to escape. They're not like chickens. Mallard ducks can fly all over the place. And as this map points out, we started to see spread coming out of Athens, Georgia, of this clade 23446 B, and that is, you know, the origin source. This is called gain of function research because it's serial passage. They keep taking different strains until finally a mallard duck can accept the virus and then spread it to another duck. And sure enough, the ducks must have gotten out because we saw the very first animal cases right around Athens, Georgia, both in migratory waterfowl, but also in sea mammals. This was important. Hmm. Now, 16 states have outbreaks that mallard ducks have carried this bird flu to farms. We've seen poultry farms, dairy farms, and instead of acknowledging that it's being spread by mallard ducks and continually reinfecting the farms, we've seen draconian measures. You just can't believe this. Sid Miller in Texas, the ag director, he directed a Calmain, a big egg manufacturer in West Texas, to cull or intentionally kill millions of perfectly healthy chicken. We've seen the same in Colorado as well as Michigan. Now it's going to happen in California. They are ignoring the fact that it's a useless strategy because the mallard ducks are going to continue to reinfect the farms. And it's pretty mild, by the way, in both the mallard ducks, the cattle, and the chicken. I attended the University of Arkansas Bird Flu Summit meeting, and there they disclosed there's only been about 10,000 chickens, they believe, who have died of this bird flu, 10,000, yet millions, probably over 10 million healthy chickens have intentionally been killed as part of a biosecurity strategy.
Maybe there's another agenda there.
Mm. In a previous conversation with again, your associate, Nick Halter, one of the things we explored was the fact that if those birds had been allowed to live and experience, work their way through the disease, many of them likely would have attained immunity, which mm-hmm. then could have been passed on in the natural world, as has been happening for what, millions of years through various populations. And it seems to be this culling seems to be literally the absolute wrong thing to do because it doesn't allow that immunity to be developed in a population.
So the animals get natural immunity. If we just let them alone, they would get natural immunity. The culling not only prevents natural immunity from settling in the population, but in fact, it spreads the virus to humans. So most of the cases where it's gotten in the eyes and caused conjunctivitis in the farm workers, that's been the poor workers who have been assigned to kill all the chickens. And some of the dander comes up and they actually have contracted SARS-CoV-2 from culling. This happened in Colorado, for instance. So culling, we should be immediately stopped. We should not quarantine the cattle. Currently, Gavin Newsom in California has got 47% of dairy farms has the cattle quarantined. And now we have Deborah Birx, former White House coronavirus task force member, coming out on national TV, Meet the Nation and CNN. And she said we should be doing PCR testing weekly of the animals and the workers. And you know what that means? That's going to raise even more and more false positive results.
So do you think that the false positives are an agenda possibly to spread fear? What do you think? I mean, if there, what are these measures attempting to do, do you think?
Excessive testing, which mm-hmm. is what we saw in the COVID-19 outbreak and now with the bird flu scare, excessive testing will raise alarm bells to push decision makers into population mass vaccination. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Emory infectious disease doctor Leanna Wen came out on CNN, as all the other news shows, and was pushing the Biden administration to rush, approve, and distribute a bird flu vaccine. We have a 2021 bird flu vaccine by a company called CSL Sequarius.
So to your point, Todd, this does seem to be setting up to push again an agenda. There's been reports that some states are already moving back toward mask mandates or recommendations. California's issued an emergency declaration of bird flu, even though there's a single serious case and it's not even in California. But this does seem to have an agenda behind it.
Definitely. And we're going to stay on top of that. That's one thing we're good at here is spotting the agendas and at least calling questions. We may not know the answer, but we know to ask questions. And we're going to continue to do that here at the Georgia Show and at Georgia Record and at CDM.press. I ask everyone in our audience, and we are really appreciative of our audience on all our different streaming channels, please put CDM.press in your morning scan. Everybody goes to their normal news sites. Put us in your scan so that you check. And I guarantee you, you will know more because we don't print what everybody else prints. We have people out in the field that give us stuff overnight in the middle of the night. My phone buzzes all night long. It bothers my wife, but it is what it is. So back to you, Bill. Unless you got anything, let's take us out.
That'll be it. And we will be back on Wednesday. And we'll have more coming out on the Georgia Record through the events of tomorrow. So thanks again. We'll see you next time.